Morning, church. Glad we can be together today. I hope that you brought a Bible, and I invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter, Hebrews chapter 10. As we've been together this morning, it's been wonderful to be led into prayer and to sing praises. David's done such a fine job, and I appreciate Brother Shane and his words before the communion, reading to us from the book of Hebrews, because that's where I want to be with you in our study today, Hebrews chapter 10. And as you're finding Hebrews chapter 10 in your own Bible, I'd like to maybe begin by asking you a question. And that is, what do you need today? What would you say you desperately need today? I bet for some of us we're saying, well, you know, it's Sunday, it's been a long week, and I am in need of a nap. I think a nap is exactly what I need. And there may be some others who's saying, well, I tell you what, I need to breathe easy. And so if we could have a concise sermon, that's really what I would need. And I'd appreciate that very much as well. What is it that we need? It's a funny thing about needs, but as I've observed, often we confuse our needs with our wants or our desires. And that is, I'll say that. I need something. I need this right now. But what I really mean is, well, I want this. I just want something. And conversely, it may be so that something I really need, I don't like, and I don't want. I don't desire it. In fact, it's even possible to be in need of something and unaware of that need. The Bible, God's Word, reveals genuine needs to us, but perhaps these are things we did not know we need. I know that sounds strange. Because I need air and I need food and I need water. And if I don't have those things, I know it, and I know it in a hurry. How could it be that I have needs that I am unaware of? And yet the Bible addresses spiritual needs of which we may be ignorant. It shows us something that we really badly need. We just didn't understand that. And I want to show you a passage from the book of Hebrews that identifies a serious need for Christians. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. Have you found that now? Hebrews chapter 10, the scripture says in verse 35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Do you see the need? Did you catch the need? It's in verse 36. It says, you have need of endurance. Now, you might be reading from a different Bible than the one I have quoted up on the screen. Your Bible might say patience. Your Bible might say perseverance. But most say endurance. You need endurance, Christian. I need endurance, my brethren. In fact, it's a desperate need. And I think we may overlook the importance, the significance of endurance, of maintaining a course despite the obstacles, despite the challenges. But endurance is powerful. It makes an impression, perhaps an unforgettable impression. For me, about 5 or 6 years ago, I had an opportunity to do some preaching in this church on the outskirts of Birmingham. I was supposed to be with them all week, a Sunday through a Friday, and preaching a series of evangelistic meetings. I was preaching there every night. And when Sunday came and we were starting up, I walked into the church building. And a lot of times when I go into the church building, I kind of take it all in. But I sort of noticed in the periphery of my vision, a little head jumped up that was already seated in the pew and made a beeline right for me. I mean, marched up right up to me, right up to my chest. Here was a young blonde lady named Miss Angela. And Miss Angela shoved her hand out and she said, you must be Andrew Roberts. I am looking forward to your sermons. And then just as quickly, she turned right around and she marched back to her pew and she sat down. Well, I had been greeted. This young lady, Miss Angela, as I came to learn, she had Down syndrome. And at the time, she was in her early 30s. Living with her parents, traveling with her parents. They were actually there every time that week, every time the doors were open. And every time she made a beeline right to me and greeted me warmly. Well, you know, if you've opened up the program, I do these interactive outlines that go along with sermons. And even when I go on the road somewhere, I'll have those papers to hand out to folks. And the very first day, and continually, you know, the ushers are being helpful, and they're trying to hand out the interactive outlines. And when they came to Miss Angela, handed her one, she said, "No, I will take my own notes." And she said it loud enough that I heard her. And, you know, it didn't hurt my feelings. Nobody has to take the interactive outlines. That's not a big deal. But she said, "I will take my own notes." Well, I would tell you that on Friday night, she came up to me with this stack of papers at the close of the meeting. And again, pushed them to me. And she said, "These are your sermons." And I took them and I looked at them. And I realized she must have been writing furiously, because I say an awful lot in a sermon. And she had written down all the notes for these sermons. And then she handed them to me. And as I look at them and I reflected on them, I realized, you know, everybody else was kind of filling in words, but she's taking all the notes. And it was just a little bit harder for her than everyone else in the room. That for her to study along and to take the notes, it was just a little more difficult. From her fine motor skills to her cognitive processes to her visual acuity, everything was just a little bit harder for her to study along and take the notes. And I'm so touched by the perseverance. I'm so touched by the endurance. I treasure these sermon notes as a testament to her faith and to her endurance. Sometimes we meet people whose attitude and perseverance in overcoming their own struggles inspires the rest of us to do better. And the Hebrew writer identifies a need, a desperate need for Christians in the first century. I tell you, it's a need of Christians today, and the need is endurance. So let's go to our Bibles and let's go to the notes. And number one, let us understand you have a need of endurance. Number one, you have a need of endurance. I have a need of endurance. We've used this word endurance a few times, and I appreciate so much one of the lexicons and their explanation of endurance, that theirs lexicon. Of course, it means steadfastness, constancy, endurance, this Greek word that is rendered. But now catch this. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Man, that's fantastic. You can write down as much of that or a little of that as you want, but write down that word unswerved. I'm not even sure that's a real word. My spell check didn't like it. But it was in the lexicon, and it captures what endurance means. Unswerved from this deliberate purpose in faith and in piety. What's that mean? In other words, if following Jesus brings us to an obstacle, endurance says we will overcome the obstacle. If following Jesus incurs a cost, endurance says we will pay the price, even a high price. If following Jesus brings persecution, endurance says we will suffer persecution. We will endure. We will not swerve in our loyalty to faith, to piety. That's endurance. And what we read together in Hebrews chapter 10 is that endurance is required to do the will of God. Endurance is required to live by faith. And as we'll see together in just a moment, endurance is required to run a race that is set before us. To live, to run, to do the will of God. Now, I want you to appreciate, these are not three separate things at all. It's actually three ways of saying the same thing. Living in faithful obedience before God. It's verbs, it's action words. Doing, do the will of God. Doing, living, running. Doing, living, running. Action words that require energy, determination on our part. And we are not going to be doing any of these things accidentally. Now, not only that, but there will be obstacles, the Hebrew writer says, and costs. The devil will put these things in our way to try to keep us from doing and living and running. And so what we need is endurance. We need endurance. Not only is this required that we might do, live, and run, but the Hebrew writer tells us that endurance is rewarded. This endurance on the part of Christians will be rewarded. Well, I did want to read this to you from Hebrews chapter 12 when it talks about the running. And who is the example In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is our example, who shows us how to run with endurance and to endure. And as he was rewarded, so the children of God will be rewarded. By receiving God's promise, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, by receiving the saving of the soul. You see, it's after we do the will of God, we shall be rewarded. It's after we live by faith for a little while, our soul shall be saved. It's after we run the race and we finish and receive the victory. Endurance is rewarded. The Bible teaches Christians we need endurance. But not only for yourself. Endurance is important to others. And so I want to observe with you, secondly, that endurance is inspiring. Number two in your notes, it is inspiring. It is exciting. You know, when the Bible says that we need endurance, that those Christians were lacking it at that time, perhaps we're in need of it today, where shall we achieve it? How shall we obtain it? How do we motivate endurance in ourselves and in others? And again, I believe the book of Hebrews gives us three sources to inspire endurance, three sources to motivate endurance. The first, we are taught in the book of Hebrews, is to look to the Scriptures. Look to the Scriptures when you need to endure. Amazing. This example after example after example. In Hebrews chapter 11, what we call heroes of faith and how each of these endure. One after another, they live by faith. They did the will of God in their lives. Oh, the Bible's so important. Scripture's so important, all of it. And that's why we need to read about the Enochs and the Noahs. We need to know the Abels and the Abrahams because they endured. Because we can read their accounts and know that they overcame obstacles. They paid the price. They kept the faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, truly a cloud of witnesses who ran the race. And we look at those situations and we get motivated. We incorporate their story into our own experience, into our own living by faith. Look to them. Look to the Scriptures. Secondly, we are taught by the Hebrew writer to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. If we're going to live by faith, then of course Jesus is our number one example. Motivator. He's the author of the faith, the perfecter. It is Jesus. His unwavering faith and commitment to God's will meant what? Meant suffering crucifixion. But he endured, and now he is glorified at the right hand of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. Look unto Jesus, verse 2 says, the author and finisher of our faith. And now look at verse 3. For consider him, that's Jesus. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Look to Jesus. We are taught that if we don't look to Jesus often, we might become weary and discouraged when we need to endure. When the obstacle seems too great or the question comes up, will we pay the price? Will we pay the price to keep following the Lord? He says, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus and endure. Look to Jesus and realize this obstacle is not too big. This price is not too high. Follow in the path of Jesus. Jesus motivates us. There is a third source given in the book of Hebrews where we might motivate and inspire endurance to continue on in the Lord. And that is to look around at your brethren. Look around at your brethren. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You don't become sluggish, but you become imitators of those you see who are moving forward and inheriting promises. You're looking around at other Christians. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Look around at other Christians. There are examples of endurance to follow. And of course we find them in the Bible. But so too we see them in the beloved saints. The Christians who go before us. We need to look to the older men who are appointed as pastors in the church. We need to look to the elderly sisters who are pillars in a local church and consider them. Imitate them. Follow in the footsteps of their faith. I got to tell you just real quick one other story from that week in Birmingham. I met this Sister Angela. I'll never forget her. But I met another sister that week, and her name was Miss Elizabeth. And I'll tell you something about Miss Elizabeth. Miss Elizabeth was 94 years young. And Miss Elizabeth was still driving. That wasn't a joke. I mean, she's still driving. And I'll tell you, I noticed her, because when she came in, she was always there in time, but she came in on a walker. You know, it took a lot for her to get around. And Friday night rolls around, and I came up to Miss Elizabeth. I said, Miss Elizabeth, I said, I believe you have been here every night this week. I think you have perfect attendance. And she looked up at me, and she said, well, of course I have perfect attendance. The question is, are you going to give me a gold star? Miss Elizabeth was quite a character. She really was quite a character. And she had put her stamp on that wonderful congregation in so many ways. That week, though, especially, I was touched by her example of endurance. There are some of you who know well, it requires effort and perseverance for a person of advanced years and limited mobility to get anywhere. And there are plenty of days when people like that simply don't feel good. But with Miss Elizabeth, she did not waver. She was overcoming obstacles, and that was a great example of endurance and a great example to follow. And maybe we doubt what our participation with the church might mean to others, might mean to our brethren. Maybe we think, nah, no one ever notices. Nobody misses us. It's no big deal if we just dropped out of the church. But here's the truth. You don't always know the influence that your example has on others. Now, I don't want to creep anybody out this morning. But the truth is, you don't know who's watching you. You really don't know who's watching you. And the example that you set, the things that someone might recall even 5 years later, even 6 years later, you don't know. So we must endure. I'll tell you that when it requires some adherence to serve the Lord and continue on with the saints, it does inspire others to endure. And I have known Bible class teachers who kept on teaching children's Bible classes long after their own children were grown and up out of the classes. They continue on. They endured. And I have known elders and preachers over the years who've taken heat for making the hard decision. They didn't quit the Lord. They didn't quit their work. They endured. I've known families who have uprooted their kids and moved to foreign countries for years to preach the gospel and plant churches in other parts of the world. They endured. I know Christians who annually, they take their own vacation time from their jobs to go work short-term preaching mission trips overseas somewhere. And they endure. And even in this difficult season, I witness saints taking many extra precautions and considerations to do extra work and to do extra cleaning and to take extra effort and responsibility so that as many good brethren as possible can feel able to meet together and worship. And I appreciate every one of these examples of patience and of endurance. It is inspiring. Brethren, you're inspiring me today. And it helps other saints to endure. Because what it says is, we will get there together by the grace of God. But when we draw back, it hurts others. It can tax the endurance of others and tax the endurance of good brethren. And so we are reminded in Hebrews 10 and verse 39, we are not those who draw back. Hebrews 10 and verse 39, the scripture says in that place, but we are not those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul. I'm telling you that your endurance inspires endurance in others. So I want to conclude a third point this morning, third and finally from the book of Hebrews. This is a little different vein. Because what we're reading in Hebrews 10 is, and really the book of Hebrews, what we're reading in Hebrews 10 is a word of warning. A word of warning about not enduring. And so I need to end this with a word of warning as well. And so it's number three, beware. Endurance is elusive. It is needed. It is inspiring and motivating. But understand that endurance is also elusive. By that, I mean it is difficult to have. It is difficult to hang on to. The challenge is to maintain endurance. And we can trick ourselves, friends. You can think that you have endurance. Oh, I'm an enduring saint. Because at one time, you endured. We could sit around and visit and you'd say, hey, there was a time. There was a time when I was enduring some things and I know that I endured. There was a time when there was some obstacles to faith, but we overcame the obstacles. There was a time when there was a price to pay. It felt like a high price, but we paid the price. We know we endured. The question becomes, how are things currently? How are you doing today? In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we get two very different pictures of the same group of Christians. Let me give you the first picture. As the Hebrew writer takes a little stroll down memory lane with these Christians, when they first became Christians, you read this in Hebrews 10, verse 32. But recall, hey, remember this? But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. He said, you endured, verse 33, partly while you were made a spectacle both by the reproaches and tribulations, and partly where you become companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. He says, do you remember when you were first Christians, when you were first illuminated? Boy, there were some things you had to endure. He said that some of you were in prison for the faith. I was in chains. He said some of you were helping the prisoners. Some of you were suffering a loss of property. And some of you were willing giving up that property to provide for the persecuted. That's endurance, folks. That's an incredible picture of endurance. There was a time and they endured. But how are they doing now? Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Same group of Christians, but how are we doing today? Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up or provoke love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some or habit of some. But exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What a contrast. Where are they now? Now they are wavering about this confession. They're being told, you've got to hang on to this. Now they need to be prodded. They need to be stirred up to be about love, to be about good works. Now, some of them at least, are rarely assembling with the saints. A lot of time we describe as people got out of the habit. He doesn't say they got out of the habit. He said, you got a new habit. You have a new manner. And that is other things are coming before God. What a contrast. So there was a time when they would face persecution and go to jail for Jesus, but now they don't want to go to church. That's a shift. And so he tells them, you have need of endurance. The warning is, without endurance, you draw back to perdition. You draw back to judgment because you become burdened and ensnared in sin. And when you're caught up and tripped up in sin, you cannot run the race. Run the race of faith in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And I got to ask us. I got to warn us. Is endurance eluding us today? Do we sit right here and say, yes, I have a need, a desperate need of endurance? Think about it. Now, maybe you can name a time you endured, but how are things today? These are times of testing. These are times of trial and obstacle about our endurance. Amidst all of this isolation, for some there will be temptation to drift back to the rhythms of life before the Lord. The devil will always take you back. Can you endure and endure in the church? Can you endure? Can you endure in prayer for our leaders, for our nation? Or have we become so disgusted and disappointed with this leader or that, we no longer pray? Can we endure in the hope of eternal victory, an eternal victory in the Lord? Or are we so discouraged by the wickedness of humanity that our own confession wavers? Can we endure in the truth of the Bible, God's word? Or have the ceaseless attacks of skeptics and seculars compromise our convictions? I want you to see it. I want you to appreciate it. Endurance can be elusive. What I'm driving to here is this. You have endurance when you endure. Deep statement. I know. I'm simple like that. But I'll tell you, it's true. You have the endurance when you endure. And you need endurance when you're drawing back. Now, we could talk about sin. Maybe you recall a time when you overcame a sin struggle in your life. You repented. You were done with that. You were living for Jesus. But now, recently, you've gone back to it. Or maybe when you became a Christian, you were not involved in whatever sort of sin, whatever kind of entanglement you've got yourself into now. Lust, fornication, lying, wrathful outbursts, whatever it is. It's time to repent of sin. To cast off the things that trip us up. To run a race for the Lord. To run a race with endurance. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 admonishes, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Oh, brethren, let us run this race with endurance. Because you need endurance. I need endurance. If you want to put your Bibles away and your notes away, I appreciate so much your good attention this morning as we've looked to the Word of God. We know that truly endurance is needed. And I hope you understand and you appreciate how endurance is inspiring. It's motivating. It means so much for yourself and for others. But we also need to take hold of endurance is elusive. And it would be a mistake to go back in our mind to some glory days of faith to excuse or rationalize and justify we're drawn back from the Lord today. May it never be so. We're going to sing a song of encouragement now. If we can pray for you, my brother and sister in Christ, to be recommitted and restored to the Lord, we'd love to do that. If there's someone here who has never named Jesus as their Savior, then you need to make that good confession and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If we can do anything here this morning to help you leave here in a right relationship with the Lord, running that race again without hindrance, we want to do that. Whatever the spiritual need is, we pray you'll continue on and endure. Come forward and make your desire known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you please come forward?